Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you feel when somebody tells you, don't worry about a thing? Yeah, okay, thanks, right? Don't worry about a thing. Now, you can take that a couple of different ways, right? And if we start with the positive way, it could put you at ease, especially if you know that the person that's saying that knows what they're talking about, right? If they have understanding, if they know the threats that might lead to worry, and they have a good understanding of the situation, that can help put you at ease. If you know that they actually care about you and they're not just blowing you off, they're saying, don't worry about a thing. That can help put you at ease, right? They know the threats. They actually care about me and my well-being. And it can put you at ease if they are capable, right? If they can actually do something about it, right? If Superman shows up and there's the bad guy and he says, don't worry about a thing. You go, whew, Superman's here. No, all right, right? But if somebody says, don't worry about a thing, sometimes it doesn't put you at ease, right? Sometimes it makes you even more worried, right? Especially when they are foolish and they don't understand the situation well enough to know all the threats, all the ways that you could be hurt, all the ways why you should be worried. Don't worry about a thing. Right? Might mean that they are not capable, that they can't actually deal with the danger that might be there or the threat. Or they might say, hey, don't worry about a thing. And you know that that's coming from a place where they don't actually care about you. They're blowing you off. Don't worry about a thing. I think that sometimes that saying can rub us the wrong way, because we live in a world that gives us a whole lot of reason to worry. Anybody else live in that world? A whole lot of reason to worry. We go through life and we see we do need to worry. And sometimes worry is really helpful. You're worried about something and it makes you actually do something and not procrastinate. Worry makes you aware of the dangers or the threats that might be around you. Worry, we find really helpful sometimes, because the world that we experience so often feels, if I can say this, godless. Like there's not somebody in charge looking over everything. It feels like it's all up to us and our capabilities if we're going to survive. We live in a world where it feels like we do need to worry, where it's every man for himself. And so you've got to look out for you, and you got to worry about your needs because nobody else will. Don't worry about a thing. So often we feel like we live in a world where gifts and charity and kindness are rare. And so we've got to be charitable and kind to ourselves. We've got to take care of ourselves because nobody else will. We live in a world where it feels like our needs are absolute, that if we don't have our needs filled, then we will be in danger. We could even face death. Game over. And so our needs must be filled or else we will cease to survive. We live in a world where we need to worry because we believe that life is simply what you make of it, because nobody else is looking out for you. And it's into that kind of world that Jesus has the audacity to tell you and to tell me, don't worry. Does this guy know this world? Does Jesus understand this world? Who does this guy think he is to tell us don't worry? Does Jesus have an accurate picture of what's going on down here? Why would he tell us don't worry? I don't know about you guys, but I'm a professional worrier. Any other professional worriers here? Right? I don't know. I'm pretty good at it. And it's come in handy. Why is Jesus saying don't worry? And maybe if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we also feel like, can we actually trust God? And it doesn't come up from a place of believing that God is less capable or loving, but sometimes it comes from a place of looking at ourselves and saying, why would God care about little old me? Who am I that God would look out for me? Why would God even think of me? Why would God want good things for me? Sometimes we go through life thinking that God will take care of us only if we take care of ourselves. We think that surely God expects me to do my part. And I know that I have not done my part. So why would he give me anything that I don't deserve? Why would he look out for me? Why would he give me something nice in my life when I don't deserve that nice? And so we worry. Because we don't see why God would love us, why he would look out for us, why he would want better for us. And we worry because we live through this world and we see different things in this world and the way that people suffer and the way that people have experienced bad things. We see bad things in this world. We see troubles in this world. And it fills us with fears about the future. And we've experienced troubles in our past and we have regrets about the past. And we have anxiety about the present. There's a whole lot of reason to worry in this world. And Jesus tells us not to worry. The world we experience is not the world that Jesus tells us about. Jesus describes a world that we cannot see, but a world that is very real. Here's what Jesus says. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love that verse. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus describes for us a world where God takes care of you, where he takes care of all of your needs. And that does two things to us. If God is absolutely in charge and he cares about us and he takes care of every single one of our needs, and that does two things. First, it actually amplifies your need beyond what you could possibly imagine. Because if you go through this world, you may not realize the depth of your need. You might be worried about clothing and food. Maybe deeper things too, sickness and health. You might be worried about relationships, and those might all be things to be worried about, but the truth and the reality is the world that Jesus describes is a world where your needs are much, much deeper. There's this thing called sin. And without God's law, we don't realize how far we stray. How sinful we actually are. Without the Holy Spirit revealing it to us, we can't realize how far we fall below God's standards for our lives, how deep our needs actually are for Jesus to forgive us, for Jesus to renew us. When God is in charge and he's the one providing for every single one of your needs, it actually amplifies your need beyond what you even realize. But it also does this. It also amplifies God's provision far beyond what you could ever have realized. Knowing what God actually does for you, the price that he paid with his own son's blood for you, the life that he has actually given you in your baptism that you live now. You begin to see the ways that he has provided, and it is not until we see him face to face where we will realize just what he has provided for us, just what he has provided for you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Dear Christian, you are not saved because of what you bring to the table. You are not saved because of the good works that you do. You are not saved because you accepted Jesus into your heart. You are not saved because of what you do to impress God. You are not saved because of what responsibility you take for your own life. Why are you saved? Because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His good pleasure. The reason why you are saved is because God wanted to save you. It was his joy to take care of you. He wanted to. He just simply liked the idea of you being saved. And so at his pleasure, he decided to take care of you in your deepest needs forever. It was his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if you know that he gives you the kingdom, and if you know that he cares for birds, and if you know that he cares for things like flowers, how much more will he take care of you? You know, I found this quote by Martin Luther where he's commenting on this passage, and I like what he says. He says, "Our dear Lord holds before us the example of the birds, as if to say, birds do not have a care in the world. For they know they have an excellent kitchen chef and a generous butler whose name is the Heavenly Father. This is the reason they say not to worry. Haven't you heard what kind of cuisine and cellar we have, namely as wide as the world is wide? That's the reason we fly wherever we wish. We find our fine and the table is well prepared. The same Heavenly Father wants gladly to be your kitchen chef and butler if you would only believe it or want to have him." I love that. If God is willing to serve as a kitchen chef and butler for the birds, how much more will he do for you? That is the world that Jesus invites us to see. It's the world that we can't see with our worry, but it's the world that we see with faith. And Jesus invites us to live according to that world, according to a different kind of world than the world of worry. So instead of worry, where we live according to a pretend world, we live according to the world where God Almighty serves as kitchen chef and butler even for birds. And Jesus invites you to live in that kind of world. In Luke chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says this, instead of worrying about the things of the world, instead seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. You are invited to seek the kingdom of Jesus, to seek his rule and reign over all things and in all things and through all things. Can Jesus work through things that seem bad to us? Have you ever experienced that where Jesus seems to be working even in the bad? Can Jesus work in and through things that you might be worried about? Yeah. Can he work in and through your troubles? You know why? Because he is the heavenly king. And he is the heavenly king who reigns over and through and in all things. And his promise is not that there will not be troubles. Wouldn't that be nice though? His promise is not that there will be no troubles, but that you don't need to worry about your troubles. Yep, you're going to have troubles. In fact, he tells you if you sign up for this whole Christian thing, you're going to have more troubles. But he says, don't worry about them. Because I reign. In fact, he reigns in and through everything to such an extent that when he comes back, he will make all things new. When he comes back, he will turn the world inside out. He will rewind all the troubles and all the suffering and all the tragedy, and he will restore this world to what it should be, to what it ought to be, to what it will be. We look forward to the new creation where there will not be any troubles, where he provides abundantly for every need that you have beyond what you could possibly imagine. That's the world that you look forward to, where he serves personally as your butler and kitchen chef for eternity. That's his promise. And in the meantime, he invites you to participate in that kind of world, to receive his reign, to receive the good pleasure of the Father. And you do that when you are at a place like you are here today, where you receive his word, you receive, like we did moments ago, his forgiveness over every single one of your sins, where you receive nothing less than his own body and blood. Talk about a butler and kitchen chef. Where you get to rejoice in the fact that with simple water, he has made you part of his kingdom and he has taken hold in your life and he reigns over you as your king. You receive even now the good pleasure of the Father in your life. Friends, and what Jesus has brought us to here together as his people this day means that you are looking around at the people who are your fellow citizens in his kingdom. Jesus chose you to be part of his people. And he's chosen the people in the pew next to you and behind you and on the other side of the aisle to be part of his people in his kingdom. Jesus provided a church for you. You know what that means? Is that if you've got things to be worried about, and I saw a lot of your hands earlier, all right? If you've got things to be worried about, then you know what God has also given to you this day? A church to handle those troubles with you. A church to walk along beside you. A church that will help to work through those troubles with you. And you know how we depend on God? It's often by asking for help. Asking your church for help. Asking your church to pray for you. And being open to receiving that help. Being okay with asking for help. Because often God provides through people. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. That's the directive that he's given to each of us. Sometimes you're the needy one and you need the help. And sometimes you're the one that sells your possessions to help your fellow needy Christian. It might mean that God uses you to provide, that he uses you with others in the church to provide for others who need something in our church, maybe for others who are not in our church who have a need. I think often when we think not worrying, it drives us to prayer, which is a good thing, and we keep it between ourselves and God. I think that sometimes we also need to look around us to see who God has put in our life, both that we can receive help from and also help when they go through troubles. Jesus says, don't worry about a thing. Why? Because your Father knows your needs. He is capable of providing for them, and because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So seek his kingdom in Christ, and all things will be added to you. In his name, amen.